from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis's sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. I want to thank you, of course, for listening. If you want to keep up with the show, of course, you can do so. Even if you are not near a radio dial, you can always listen on 92.9 FM, ESPN, and 680 AM. But if you want to keep up during all hours, no matter where you may be, download the Odyssey app. And you can keep up with all the content right there on the app. You can even rewind if you miss a feature, miss a segment. Go back and listen. It's the best way to keep up with all of the content here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. He's on Twitter, on X, at CDunning929. Connor Dunning, good day, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. We got a little bit of news about the future of Bally Sports. And since it pertains to how we watch the Grizzlies, at least for maybe one more season, I figured let's start there because this show has a brand. It's about watching sports on TV. That is what this show was built upon. We will stay true to our roots. We'll discuss that because I think it has some implications that I find interesting about indeed the future, not only of the Grizzlies' television rights, but maybe perhaps revenue streams. I'm very interested about that. We'll discuss that. Tim Murray's going to join us like he does each and every Tuesday on the program. We'll talk college football with Tim when he joins us. 3:05, we will get into the list. We'll scatter in Olympic updates throughout. Also, got to talk about a weird fight between Jeffrey Simmons and a radio guy. I wanted to try to get to the bottom of that. Good news, I think Travis Kelce might find a way to make some more money, so I was excited to see that. We'll also, during the second hour, Connor and I, when we text each other, oftentimes we do overrated, underrated, properly rated. Shout out, that's a Simmons thing, right?
I think so.
Yeah, look it up, Jacoby. So we'll do some overrated, underrated, properly rated. We'll tell your story. And then we will get out of here. But I wanted to start first with this story because it pertains to a question that I see quite frequently. Where am I watching the Grizzlies next year? And the reality is my answer is always just somewhere because the Grizzlies are aware of this reality. If the Bally's/Diamond Sports thing falls apart, there are going to be alternatives.
Right.
We saw, I think when Utah's deal fell apart, Utah did a move where in market they found a local affiliate. So whether it be WREG, WMC, WPTY, what's CW's? CW30, I don't even know what they are anymore.
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know what their call letters are.
I don't have cable, so I can't help you.
Come on, man. This is like our childhood, though.
I don't know. It's changed so much. It's changed so much. I have no idea what it is. CW30.
CW30. What are their call letters?
WLMT.
Yeah, WLMT. WLMT. Yeah. Okay. So they struck a deal with one of those. Usually it winds up being either the CW or even, oh God, what's that other one? Like my TV.
Yeah. I see that one a lot.
So you end up striking a deal with one of those because they usually don't run the national affiliate programming. So therefore, whereas MyTV oftentimes is showing, like, they don't have original content. Most of the times they're showing syndicated content. So you end up pairing with one of those because the local affiliates still want to run, like, whatever CBS is programming. Got to have Tracker. You can't give up Tracker. You got to have that Tracker. Got to have one of whatever the 8,000 Chicago shows that are on NBC. I don't even know what's running on ABC right now.
Like a TV show?
Yeah.
Probably something with Shonda Rhimes writing it. Or she's Netflix now, isn't she?
Yeah, I thought she got the bag to go to Netflix.
I have no, like I said, I don't have cable. I can't help you here.
I think American Idol's now on.
American Idol's still Fox. I think
it flipped.
Did it flip?
On the comeback.
See,
yeah.
That's what I said. I think it's Hulu.
On ABC. They were running some Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Like, that's the other thing. We still are kind of having, like, the after effects.
Look, let's see. The Rookie's on there.
Okay.
They've got General Hospital, Grey's Anatomy still on there.
Really?
Shadow Hunters.
No clue what that is.
The Bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
The Story of God with Morgan Freeman. Secrets of an Octopus. It's a Lucky 13 with Shaquille O'Neal.
What's their prime time? So Lucky 13, that's the summer game shows that you'll get.
Right.
So
I'm going to their schedule for
Grey's Anatomy is obviously going to be a primetime weeknight program.
Tonight's schedule, Celebrity Family Feud, Judge Steve Harvey, What Would You Do?, and then Jimmy Kimmel. So a lot of Steve Harvey.
Right, but we're also in that period where, all right, so here's, you ready for these? All right, here's their fall. I wanted what the fall lineup is. Okay, so the fall lineup, there's not going to be as much Monday Night Football this year. Remember, like, they would simulcast about, it felt like over half, maybe 11 or 12 of the games they simulcasted. So they're not going to do that nearly as much. We're going to have Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. That's the 23 lineup. What's the 24 lineup? What's coming soon to ABC? This should not be this difficult to find. All right, here we go.
Is Abbott Elementary on there?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so here are the renewed shows returning. 9-1-1, so that also flipped from Fox. Grey's Anatomy. I wonder if those were part of when Disney bought the Fox catalog.
I bet it was. That makes a lot of sense. I bet it was.
So not the dramas are 9-1-1, Grey's Anatomy. The comedy that's returning is Abbott Elementary. They also have Dancing with the Stars, Shark Tank, America's Funniest Home Videos, Press Your Luck, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, the mid-season replacements, that Will Trent show, which apparently it's like just like middle-aged hot Sherlock Holmes, I think, like set in like L.A., The Rookie, The Conners, did not realize that was still back on. Idol, Bachelor, Celebrity Jeopardy, Celebrity Wheel of Fortune, What Would You Do? That show, Dr. Odyssey, that you're talking about that I've never heard of, like, that was news to me. Something called High Potential.
Oh, this is dark.
Okay.
That's a dark lineup.
So the point being, I mentioned all of that, is there's going to be someone that is going to have games. Now, if you're a cord cutter, I actually think for this season, you kind of should hope this whole thing falls apart and that you can just go and buy the digital antenna for $20 and have it streaming on one of the networks. Like, that's literally the cheapest way.
Yeah.
So, like, you won't have to do whatever, is it YouTube TV? Which one now has Grizzlies games?
So the way that I've been doing it is my parents still pay for Comcast, and you can sign in to the Bally's website with a Comcast subscription. So I've just been doing that and streaming it to the TV.
Okay.
So that's actually the cheapest way.
But you're doing it through the Bally's app.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think that's a possibility this year.
Yeah, see, that's going to be the problem. And that's why when all of this stuff first began, I was hoping that it might end up going the Phoenix Suns route, where they just give everybody their own antenna and, hey, here's the free antenna to watch these games for you. That's what I was hoping was going to happen, because it would have been the easiest solution for me. So I'm going to have to get creative and find a way to watch the games, or I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and just buy a little bit of cable so I can watch the Grizzlies.
Well, you might have to buy a lot of bit of cable.
Yeah, that's the problem.
All right, so this is the agreement. So for those that need the quick context, Diamond Sports Group was spun off of, is it Nexair? Not Nexair. Nexstar? One of the, like, it's a, they formed a new company, and they bought all the regional sports rights from Fox when Fox sold basically all of their RSNs, the regional sports networks. And they did so thinking, well, everybody loves live sports. We're going to have all the local games, and if everyone else is printing and bailing money, we're going to get in on that game. Never asking the all-important question, if Fox is also in sports, wants to sell these things, why are they wanting to sell them to me? Because of that, they overpaid, and their whole idea was, even if we're not going to have, we're going to double dip, basically, they being Diamond. We're going to double dip. We're going to get cord cutters and people with the cord still. Because for cord cutters, we're going to have this exclusive, shiny new app where you can subscribe and watch all your local teams for, I believe, was it $19.99 a month? I believe it was $19.99. Well, two problems. Number one, the app wasn't on time. Number two, the app didn't work. Number three, they gambled that everyone was just willing to put up more money for another subscription. And now what we're seeing is people are getting tired of all the subscriptions that they have, and people are looking for things to cut.
Right.
And to your point, not that we're admitting, you know, foul play here, but everybody knows someone with an account.
Allegedly.
Correct.
Yes. And I can confirm it was $19.99 a month or $189 per year for the Bally Sports Plus.
Correct. So, Diamond's hemorrhaging money, and they either are looking to be bailed out or they are looking to sell. Amazon swoops in and says, all right, here's $100 million of cash. Like, they, I wouldn't even say that was, they like found some spare change. Like, they found a penny and they go, here, take this. And what happened is, Amazon gave them a cash infusion, and that cash infusion also came with the digital rights. What does that mean? What that means is, for those cord cutters, Amazon has the rights to all the digital. So if you're someone that just watches your teams on the app, Amazon now has those rights. Where it's unclear is, what is Amazon going to do? Is Amazon going to say, we're just going to take them now? Or are they going to say, we're going to hold on to those rights. You can run your app now, and we're going to hold on to those rights until you inevitably crumble, which we almost assuredly think you are going to do. So where does that leave us? Well, here's where it leaves us. After an impasse that kept 15 of Bally's RSN's dark and Comcast systems for nearly 3 months, Diamond Sports Group and the cable giant have come to terms on a new carriage deal. Per the terms of the agreement, the RSNs will bump up to the Comcast Xfinity's Ultimate TV package, a monthly subscriber fee about $20 higher than the basic tier that once housed Diamond's local sports channels. The RSNs will go live again on August 1st, that is Thursday, 92 days after the talks between the two parties broke down. So, in layman's terms, what does that mean? If you've just had basic Comcast cable, you have been able to still watch Bally's. When Diamond went into bankruptcy, Comcast went to Diamond and said, hey, about that on the basic tier, what did Comcast do with Peacock a week before the Olympics started?
Oh, did they raise the prices?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what is Comcast doing now?
Give us money.
Correct. Oh, you want those live sports? Oh, I bet you do. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you want those live sports. F you, 20 more bucks. There you go. The irony to me is it's the same price as the app was. And Diamond couldn't make that work. So if you're Diamond, they have no choice. But theoretically, you can sell this by, well, we can recoup the money that we lost on our crappy app by having this $20 upcharge. We'll make some of the money back that way. I got news for you. Comcast will be the ones primarily making the money off that one. But
right.
Neither here nor there. You're in bankruptcy. You're going down the tubes. So where does that leave us? Well, if you're a Comcast Ultimate Tier subscriber, you get your stuff back on Thursday. Cardinals, Braves games, all that coming back Thursday. Presumably, if Diamond Sports is still a company in the fall, that's where your Grizzlies games will be. Beyond this season, I have no idea. And the reason why I'm bringing this all up is I've been thinking about it in these terms. So we have just gotten our NBA TV national package, which, let me explain to you the winners of the NBA TV package. The owners. And to a certain degree, the players. The people that are making money off the NBA.
Right.
Who are the losers?
All of us.
Us. The consumer. Why? We now have more spots that we have to go to to watch the NBA. In addition to losing the NBA on TNT, presumably. Again, Connor and I talked about this 2 weeks ago. The NBA wants to be in business with Amazon. They're going to figure out a way to be in business with Amazon. CNN or Turner's just going to get a check to go away. And that's where it's going to be. So, whereas it used to be, all you really needed was basically cable.
Right.
To watch everything, at least the national TV. Well, now I've got great news for you. For those of you that signed up for Peacock to watch the Olympics, you can just keep that subscription rolling. Just keep on giving them 11, 12 bucks a month because you're going to be watching a lot of NBA on Peacock. I always think everyone has Prime, but last week I learned from Herd. Herd's like, yeah, when I moved, I canceled Prime. And I was like, wait, you don't have Prime? Like, so normal people out there don't have Prime.
I am always
shocked.
You're
going to need Prime.
I am always shocked to find out that people don't have Prime. Because it just kind of feels like it's built in. And well, don't you order stuff? Like, how do you get it in one day? Do you actually wait 5 days to get your packages? It's hard for me to fathom. But I also have a wife who loves to spend her time on Amazon Prime. So I can't imagine a world without it.
I would like to know every household's split. Like, what is the American average split of number of packages from Amazon that are ordered by husband and then are ordered by wife?
I always know.
I feel like in my house, it's at least 10 to 1.
I always know when she's on it because I'll get these random push notifications that's like, view this again, or you were looking at this, and it seems like you might like this product too. And I'm like, oh, somebody's been snooping. And every time I go to try to buy something, I have to make sure that I don't just hit instant buy because it'll buy
whatever's in your cart. Yeah.
I'll go to buy like a vinyl or like a movie for like $11.99, and I'll go to the cart and it'll be like $150. And I'm like, that seems incorrect.
Yeah, I was just saving this. this was going to be a treat at some point. Like,
that's what the heart button's for.
Yeah. This was going to be a treat. So now you're going to need Prime, ESPN, Peacock. And I guess if you have ESPN, because that's the other thing NBC does that's dirty. If you want to watch, like for instance, when the U.S. Open was on in the summer, I have Peacock. I was out and about and I was trying to keep up because I thought my guy was going to win a major championship and I had to make sure I was there for the ride. No, it doesn't stream on Peacock. You have to go to the NBC Sports app. So you have to have some way to access.
Oh, that's nasty.
If you are a cord cutter, you have to have some access. Like, you can't just watch. Like, yes, you subscribe to Peacock. Comcast is going to get you a little bit more. And that's why it has never been better to be a sports fan in the sense that we do get to watch it. Basically, if it's on, if you want to watch it, it's on somewhere. But they are full Dan Snydering us. They are just squeezing every nickel for us. This is like, oh, you want to park in the good spot? Oh, yeah, there's another $20. Like, it's just every possible way to nickel and dime us. They are just coming after us.
But they're doing us a favor, Jeffrey, because if you're an Xfinity customer and you upgrade to the Ultimate TV package by August 30th,
Three months?
3 free months for something that you were that used to be free. You get it for free for 3 more months. Even though it used to be free, you get it for 3 more months before you have to pay $20 for it, even though used to be free.
And remind me again, Connor, when does the Grizzlies season start?
Not August 30th.
Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's about... The Grizzlies season, you'll get about 2 months of free nothing and then a few games. Because I believe it starts late October.
It's almost like they want you to sign up, and then when the stuff that you want to watch goes away. Hmm. Funny how it works that way.
But I have like a very serious question.
All right.
What is their plan to get someone like me who does not have cable?
Define they.
Is their strategy to just let the cable cutters go? Are they just assuming that, because I'm not going to buy a cable package and then put $20 on top of it just to watch the Grizzlies. I will find a way. Huey's is around the corner from my house. I can go watch the games every single night at Huey's if I want to. I have friends I can go over and watch their games. I'm not going to pay a cable package and $20 extra on top of what I'm already paying just to watch the Grizzlies. It's just not going to happen. I'll find ways to watch it. I'll drive to Carville and watch it with my parents if I have to.
So let me stress, this is my interpretation.
Okay.
No one has ever said on the record what they're doing because they have stock prices. So the best way that I would describe it is, I think the people that are in the cable television business understand this is a kind of an intermediary transitionary period. We are transitioning from linear television, the good old-fashioned cable satellite method, and we're transitioning to streaming. And I don't mean it in the sense of like the app and whatnot. Like, clearly what we're doing is, like, if you think about DirecTV now as DirecTV Stream.
Right.
So eventually it's going to be Comcast Stream. It's going to be Time Warner Stream. Like, all the providers, we're moving to that. We're moving to that place, but we're not there yet. And so I think what they have realized is, We reached the saturation point of everyone, when everyone saw that. If you think back to streaming initially, everyone's like, oh my God, there's so much money to be made here. And everybody was hopped on. Well, then when you realized there was AMC Plus, that was when I took a step back and went, there's too much streaming. At this point, that's like, no. So if you look at them now, they also handed out money to content makers, whether it be writers, producers. They were throwing out money like it was just water. And they spent way more money than the revenue that it generated. So they're sitting here with all these losing apps, and they're having to figure out a way, how can we make this work? Well, it looks like we're in the beginning stages of something that I would call a bundle, in which we'll take all of these different people and we'll put them in one place for one small price. We just remade cable or satellite.
We've been heading this way for a very long time, but yeah.
Correct, but now you're getting into this situation of no one knows whether or not that's going to work. And so I think what they would say is their plan is they're going to make their bottom line one way or the other. They are publicly traded. They're going to have to hit a price. Like, that's how the executives are going to get their bonuses. So there's basically 3 ways that you can make sure you hit your number, by my estimation. Number one, the subscription fees, which is what we're talking about. And if you rule out, okay, we're not getting that, well, there's 2 other ways. What's the one thing you can't live without? The internet. You can't do any of the stuff that you want to do without the internet. So they're going to start jacking up the internet price. We've already started to see that happen to a certain degree. Or third, they're going to start charging more for advertising, and they're basically going to say, well, maybe we're not making money on you with that subscription, but we're still going to make the revenue because advertisers have to come to us. And live sports is what everybody wants to watch. So that would be my best interpretation of it. Did that make sense?
I think so. I just found this. It seems like they may still allow you to watch through an authenticated login with Bally Sports, the app. So if that stays present, I should be okay.
Right.
But I wonder if that means my parents, allegedly, would have to pay $20 for me to allegedly watch on their account.
Well, I guess I would also say it this way. Do you really think Bally's is going to be do you think they're invested in that app and making sure that it works right?
No, that app sucks.
Correct. And that was when they did have...
It's terrible.
They did have incentive to try to make it better.
It's actually genuinely probably the worst streaming app I've ever experienced. I think it is actually the top of the crap pile. It's number one.
I guess if I would give it one compliment, I do feel like the picture that it generates is very good.
In the year of 2023, correct. It's at least we can see the sport.
Correct.
Yes.
It generates a great picture.
They have great cameras.
And that ends my complimenting of the app.
Well, and that's why, ultimately, when all of this conversation began about NBA media rights deals and who's going to get it, I have been saying, listen, I understand Amazon, not the best overall. However, I am rooting for Amazon to get the rights to the NBA, NBC, and ESPN because it's going to make it easier for me to watch. I'm going to know that I can go to these places and watch the NBA. And I ultimately do think that we are going to get to a point where Amazon probably holds the local TV deals. And you just go to Amazon, pay a little bit extra, and I can watch the Grizzlies there. That's what I am hoping happens because it's going to be convenient. It's going to be in one spot. I can trust Prime Video. I know it's going to work. It's easy to use. And I'm willing to pay $20 with Amazon to watch the Grizzlies. It's just with how much crap Diamond Sports and Bally's have been trying to feed me over the years, I just have a bit of a hesitation to give them more money for a bad product.
I think you're correct. And I would even go so far to say is, you can tell me that when the next TV deal is up for the NBA, Amazon's a TV company.
Well, they have very clearly, within the last few years, they have separated video from Amazon. They have gone so far as to which, during interviews, if you listen to actors or directors that make movies with Amazon Studios, they have to say Prime Video. It is not Amazon Prime Video. It is Prime Video. They were starting to make the distinction to turn it into a full studio. Because right now, they do things every once in a while, and they're starting to spit out more shows. They're starting to put out more movies. But I have just heard in the messaging recently that they are really pushing to make Prime Video a separate entity from Amazon. So I think you are correct in that they are probably going to split that off into having a TV subsection and a movie subsection, very much like we see with Warner Bros. And just name a major studio that has it. I think that that's the direction they're trying to go with Prime Video because, one, they're making a ton of money. Their products are actually pretty good. But that type of language being used all of the sudden, to me, doesn't seem like a coincidence, especially around the NBA deal that's going down.
It's the classic... Yes, you and I probably for the rest of our lives are going to say Twitter.
Right.
But my daughter's not going to say that. She's going to say X. It takes a generation to get through it. I think the biggest reason why, though, I think it's all going to go to Amazon is it goes back to these companies are going to have to try to figure out how to hit the number. And to me, the most logical, when you game theory it out, the most logical conclusion is they're going to start charging advertisers way more money. And then advertisers are going to sit there and go, what was the return on the investment? Okay. Why am I not just going to Amazon and saying, here's all my advertising budget?
Right.
And you can because when we watch, like if we're watching a game on ESPN, I don't know if it's 95% of the ads, but it is a high, high number. The same people watching in Seattle are watching the same ads. You and I, when we watch a game on Prime, when they show actual ads, it's not a guarantee you and I are watching the same thing because it's targeted to your account.
Well, we were just talking about it. Like, our wives, things that they purchase, I guarantee that we're going to see targeted ads from that.
And Amazon is going to be way more effective at getting either click-through, buy, whatever. If I can target a specific consumer with ads, that is a much more... If I'm someone that's spending, that's much more attractive to me.
Right.
If I'm going to spend that money. So that's where I think it is headed. Now, I'm curious to know who else gets into the space, because people thought Apple. So far, Apple has like dipped their toe in.
Right, with soccer.
With soccer, but then also there was a report a couple months back. Apparently, Tim Cook called in everybody at Apple TV Plus and gave them just like an absolute tongue lashing.
So I know that's actually exactly where I was going to go. I was going to say that there is somewhat of a blueprint with Apple TV, with the MLS and the package that they have there. I think it's like $69.99 that you buy and you get MLS games or local games. I'm not 100% sure what it is.
If you buy the season, yes, but and then you can buy it per month.
It is interesting because recently Apple TV has announced that they are going to wind down, but they're not shutting down it, because Apple TV... I mean, we can talk about them later. Underrated, properly rated, you know, over. Yeah. They might be the most underrated app we have, in that they have some legitimate prestige TV shows that you've just never really heard of that are on there. You'll just kind of be scrolling around. You'll be like, oh, I just happen to be watching one of the best shows I've watched all year on Apple. And they put out movies, but they are more so okay with losing money. It's very interesting, because one of the things that they've been doing is they're using the MLS package, and enough people have purchased it to where they are losing money, but they're justifying it because it's still able, they are still able to fund things like Martin Scorsese's, you know,
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yes. So they're using the sports package to bankroll some of their shows and their movies while still losing money. But they're in a special position because it's Apple and they have all the money in the world, so they don't really care. It's very interesting how they use Apple TV, because they understand that it's losing money. They aren't super pleased with it, but they also don't really care that much. They're going to wind it down. They're going to take some things away from it. But ultimately, the sports package has been successful for them.
Yes and no. I guess what I would say is, everything you just laid out there, I agree with. It's true. But you also just described every streaming service when they were in the beginning. And what are they doing now?
Well, it's they're bundling.
Correct.
Yeah. They're merging. Well, and that's what's happening too. Apple has been in discussions to merge with a few different places.
Right.
Most notably,
ESPN.
And Amazon.
Yeah. Then, though, there's always the... I always have to deal with this moral dilemma. In general, I'm a free market guy, but I also acknowledge we have allowed so many of these companies to get so big that I'm not so much like a free market absolutist that I'm willing to say F the consumer. So that's kind of where, like, if it's everything's at Amazon, I don't know. It's like, even if they have the best of intentions, and then there's some people that think Amazon's going to get into the gambling business, and it's like, boy.
That's where it gets messy. That's where it gets messy. If they get sports and they begin to do gambling, it'll get messy.
All right, let's talk some college football. We'll do that next with Tim Murray right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
But Connor, we'll get into the Olympics to start the list. So before we did that, though, I still kind of wanted to stick with some college football thoughts because I started realizing this, and I know Cobb and I have talked about this. The video game does help you at least learn teams, schedules, players.
Yes.
I know you've been locked up in winning national championships, going from a little-known four-star recruit at Notre Dame, but I was starting to think, as I'm playing the game, with the understanding that much of the teams are what EA Sports says the teams are in terms of rankings, whatnot. I still have some thoughts that I wanted to run by. Are we sure? Are we absolutely sure Garrett Nussmeier at LSU is going to be good?
I'm not sure. I do need to add real quick. I have transferred from Notre Dame.
Okay.
I went to Tennessee for a year.
Okay.
Lost all trust in that coaching staff.
Mm.
Hated the playbook. I am now at Oregon with Dan Lanning, and it is incredible. It's the fastest receivers on the planet, and all I have to do is throw the ball up, and they go and get it. It has been a little weird, though, because after the first season that you do, it's just kind of chaos within the simulation and the schedules. Like, nothing makes sense. Like, when I was at Tennessee, I didn't play Florida or Alabama during my season, which I just found weird. And then I went to go look at the conference alignment, and somehow both of them were no longer in the SEC. Something weird happened between the sim. I will also say that I had a lot of glitches in my first week. Like, I don't know how I did it, but there was a skill points glitch, apparently, where you got 127 skill points, and I played one game, and then all of a sudden was able to upgrade my guy to 99. So I think my game may have had a
bit. Did you buy the expensive package?
No, I bought the normal package. I have no idea what happened. It just ended up in the account. Apparently there was some move where if you turn it up to Heisman, and then you turn it back down, and then you flip something else, that it just gives you all these skill points. So my game, I will say, I don't know if I can help you too much with the opinion because there was some wonky stuff that went down within my set.
Okay, and that's, I also acknowledge I'm playing the game largely differently than everybody else is. I've been playing one of my buddies online, more on that in just a moment. And then what I've largely been doing is I don't want to commit to starting a dynasty or commit to starting till I feel very comfortable that I'm the best player out there on the game. And so what I've been doing is just playing a lot of like SEC games.
Yeah.
And figuring out that way. And I acknowledge not most people are doing that. My thing with Garrett Nussmeier is he clearly has a bazooka. I'm getting whiffs of new Zach Mettenberger.
I was going to ask, are you asking me specifically because I dealt with a similar quarterback at Tennessee? And I kind of know how this goes.
Yes, I would say in fairness to Joe Milton, I think the receivers at LSU, despite losing two first-round draft picks, I just kind of have trust that the receivers at LSU, you may not know who they are, but you don't know who they are yet. I just am getting whiffs of guy has a big arm, not afraid to let it rip. But I just, like, to me, it's like if you look at the idea is that LSU is going to get better without Jaden Daniels, I'm just a little hesitant to go there. Now, I know most LSU people would say, well, that's not where the improvement is coming from. The improvement is we'll just be able to get one stop on defense.
If you're an LSU fan, you are just praying that his Wisconsin performance is what you get next year. You're putting all of your eggs into that basket specifically, I think, because even though it's, you know, bowl game and teams might not be trying as much, he had a good game. 31 for 45, yeah, no, 395.
He was very good. And largely playing with the receivers he's going to play with.
Right.
I guess the only thing I would say to that is I do agree with you. I think that's a fair point. I might be, if you really want to look into my college football portfolio, if you dug in deep, you might see some short positions on Wisconsin. In the same way that I was always very perplexed that the whole world stopped for Billy Napier when I kept doing the, excuse me, are we sure this guy's good? Are we sure? I've always felt the same way about Luke Fickell.
Well, it just
he had a
like...
great job. Cincinnati is a great job when he had it. Like, I just, when I saw him hire Phil Longo, that just, the air raid at Wisconsin, like, that doesn't inspire confidence. I'm interested to see, but I don't feel like Wisconsin, with the teams coming in, Wisconsin has improved their position, and now they don't have the advantage of playing in the Big Ten West.
I just feel like we're going to know a lot after that. Their first game, LSU's, is against USC, and it feels like...
In Vegas.
There's going to be a lot of prove it during that game for USC and LSU. I feel like there's a lot of question marks about both teams heading into it. LSU, all of us, I think, expect to have a pretty good season. USC has a lot of question marks heading into that game, but it will be a good test. And then they get a couple weeks of easy play, and Ole Miss is going to be the big test on the 12th.
Yeah, that Ole Miss game could wind up being two undefeated teams.
And all of a sudden, it's a bloodbath after two quarters.
Well, that could be like a top five matchup, and we may. Until that game, we may not know if either team's really that good.
I am really high on LSU, or not LSU, Ole Miss this season. Okay. I think they're going to be very good.
So that brought me to the next point that I was going to make from the video game. All right, fair or foul? I have long said the Baylor offense from Art Briles that quote-unquote changed the game. It's not real football. With that being said, in this video game, holy hell does it work. And it works unbelievably well. So much so that of said friend that I was playing online with, he now refuses to play real defense. He plays literally three deep prevent. And so my options are to see if I can be patient enough to just run the ball down the
exactly,
field
that's
the
it.
Entire time. But then you get into the situation where okay, it's fine if I run it into, and I've been letting him play with Georgia.
Ugh.
Well, I need to test myself.
Yeah, but you got to. But I question the person who's like, "Nah, give me Georgia."
Well, that's he cares less about winning with Georgia and cares more about beating me.
Fair enough.
That's his whole like.
Fair enough.
That's what it's all about.
But still, unethical wins.
Yeah, he doesn't take it that way. He thinks that I've.
That's disgusting.
He believes that I have come up with. I think he thinks that like I'm playing like Ken Griffey baseball where I have like a code that makes plays work. And it's like, no, you just get into the same look and I played quarterback and I know that it's going to be open.
Yeah.
Because I run same set offense largely like last night after he cried and went home, I played Georgia and I played Alabama and it worked against them too. And there also though were ways they could stop it. Mainly if my predetermined first read was wrong. But
Daniel Jones.
It did make me realize the teams that run that offense and the teams right now out there that do, or some version of it, Tennessee, Ole Miss, now Mississippi State's going to run it. Where's Kendall? Was he at Illinois? Kendall Briles.
I will say I am a little concerned about Tennessee's offense heading into the season after using their playbook for an entire season.
And Kendall's at TCU.
Not very creative. Not a big fan of it.
Kendall's at TCU. I forgot about that.
A lot of full send.
Yeah, the one thing that I what the other thing that makes you realize the quarterback only has to be so good. What it really matters is how good are the receivers?
Are they fast? It literally comes down to can your receiver beat his guy?
Or can he make contested catches?
Yeah.
Because there's usually A, somebody wide open, and then B, you don't really like, there's enough, everything's based on leverage, and so you just kind of have to throw the ball in a general area. And if you've got dudes that can make plays on the ball, quarterback doesn't have to be that good. Now, the question I have with Ole Miss is a little offensive line related, but nonetheless, I'm trying to think of the other things. Oh, yeah. Georgia's defense is, like, unfair fast.
Have 2 seconds. You have 2 seconds to get rid of the ball.
And, like, that's even playing, like, you can play Bama and Georgia back-to-back, and the speed of Georgia's defense is noticeably different than the speed of Alabama.
If you run an RPO, they're in the backfield before you let go of the football.
Correct. Your RPO, you better figure out what your read is before the snap and hope it works.
To your point, though, what I've really enjoyed about this version of the video game, opposed to past versions, is you actually have to have some knowledge of football to be successful in it and how to run an offense, how to slide the lines. Gabe had to teach me how to slide the offensive line, and it has completely changed the way I operate. The pre-snap matters, in my opinion, so much more than it used to on the old video games. And you just getting to the corner doesn't mean that you're going to score a touchdown.
Correct.
There are so many different things that you have to do to be successful, and I enjoy how difficult it is because I like to play on All-American. I'm throwing 2 picks a game at minimum because I'm not patient enough. I get bored because you can really have success. Run the football.
Take a shot.
Yeah, hit screen passes just 5 yards at a time, 4 yards at a time, but I'll get bored and take a shot, and then I'll throw it into double coverage every single time because you don't see the other safety. I have really enjoyed how difficult this game actually is. And if you play someone that has played football before, for example, Gabe Kuhn, you're going to get your ass kicked. It's the casuals, you have some learning to do before you can be really, really successful. And I enjoy it. The learning curve of the game was something I wasn't expecting to be present.
I think you're 100% right about that. I would also add the other difference that I've noticed. Once upon a time, you could kind of have cheater offense.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, and you can't really do that anymore.
Because it adjusts to you. The game, I like that the game and the defense adjust to how you're running your offense. If you throw it too many times in a row, they're going to be ready for that. If you run it too many times in a row, they're going to be ready for it. You can't just spam stuff over and over and over again because eventually they're going to read it and pick you off for 6.
I do think you're right. You have to learn how to set protection. I would also throw out the biggest complaint that I have is for all these reasons that we're discussing, I do think it makes everyone just become RPO darlings. You just fall in love with the RPO. Because
a little bubble screen?
Oh. Yeah, and it's just like,
it's beautiful.
Rather than like the way to get around setting protection always is if I run an RPO, I can give it or I can find the quick matchup. That's the only argument. But I guess in fairness to the people that made the game, that's what college football's become.
How long did it take you to realize what the symbols meant over the defenders' heads? Took me like a full week. Had no idea what they were. Finally saw a TikTok.
Like the one that you're reading?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What's the one?
Mic?
The one that I can identify the mic.
Yeah. Or mic.
There was like some like red line I saw last night. I was like, I don't know what that means.
The one with fire over him is blitzing. I know that. And then there's one that has like a red P, and that's the one that you have to watch when you're running an option play. Because if they stay outside, you give it to the running back. If they go inside, you take it.
Yeah, I guess if I could argue, I wish they would take that away. Let's make everybody better football players.
Oh, you're saying you have to figure out the person to read. Yeah. It doesn't tell you who.
I didn't have identifiers.
There are moments where if you are playing in an arena, like if you were in a stadium like Georgia's, you just don't see them. And they also will give you the wrong symbols for receivers. So you'll just you'll think you're throwing a square, and all of a sudden you're letting it fly to triangle, and you're like, what the hell just happened?
That's my – I think my actual big complaint with the game is I understand going on the road is difficult. It ain't that difficult.
When I'm up by 21, let's relax the crowd pulse.
And then also it's like I should be able to – I mean, I guess the argument would be, hey, well, no, you should know your play. But it's like, okay, I mean, come on. Like when you – When you can't pull up the receiver options, because also, hey guys, I like to stack formations. I like to get some free releases for my receivers. I can't remember which one is on the inside, which one's on the outside. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will discuss the Olympics.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.